Welcome to the Capital Connection, a weekly program questioning New York State leaders on a variety of issues. Your host is Dr. Alan Chartok, political scientist and professor emeritus at the University at Albany. Distribution for the Capital Connection is made possible with the help of New York State United Teachers, representing professionals in education and healthcare, online at nysut.org.
Welcome to the Capital Connection. I'm Alan Chartok. Joining us today is New York Governor Andrew Cuomo, a Democrat who was elected overwhelmingly to his third term this week. Governor Cuomo, congratulations.
Thank you. Thank you very much. It's a pleasure to be on your show, Alan.
And it's terrific to have you. Okay, let's start with the whole idea of the election results in New York State. Give us an overview. It's an astounding result, and I'd love to hear your thoughts.
It is an astounding result. I think, as I'm still trying to digest, Alan, what's happened overall. First, across the country, it's a very varied picture, right?
Sure.
We're in the fall, and the beautiful leaves are all turning colors. And you have this myriad of colors. You have a myriad of colors across the country right now. So, which is a larger problem, right? The polarization of this country. But in New York, the president's message of division, of hate, which is what it comes down to at the end of the day, his repugnant position to our values, a woman's right to choose, gun safety, etc. His direct attack on the state of New York with the tax treatment under SALT, the assault of SALT, this was the dominant message for me for the past year. And New Yorkers got it. They responded. They understood it. Not just because I was saying it and the campaign was saying it, but they turned on the news and they, I believe, just were repulsed by and frightened by what they saw. So you had a quote-unquote blue wave, but I don't think it was just a blue wave. If you look at the numbers, Alan, it wasn't just Democrats. You had significant numbers of independents, Republicans. I got more votes than have ever been cast for a governor in history. So it's not just partisan, the blue wave. It was New Yorkers voting New Yorkers' values, in my opinion.
Some people say, Governor, that you were running against President Trump and not against Mark Molinaro. Is that a fair observation?
I was running against the issues or running on the issues. And they are, I think you have a Republican Party now that has taken extreme conservative positions, which were reflective of Trump, but they're also reflective of just the extreme conservative movement in this state for the Republican Party. There is no George Pataki, Rockefeller, Republican moderate. George Pataki was pro-choice, pro-gun safety. That's gone. Trump, Molinaro, Astorino, all of them. They're against a woman's right to choose. They're against gun safety, NRA, do or die. So those are the issues. And they were carbon copies on the issues. And by the way, the reason I work so hard and I'm so excited about a Democratic Senate, the Senate Republicans, the Senate Republicans have the same positions. They're against a woman's right to choose. I got one gun bill passed, but they wouldn't do anything else on gun safety. So it's the issues, not the personalities. And the issues are transcendent right across the board for them.
Yeah, but to be fair, Governor, you hardly mentioned Molinaro's name. Now, of course, I knew your father very well, not certainly as well as you do, but, you know, he would have done the same thing. He knew when he was in a fight, and he knew when to avoid a fight.
The Molinaro had the same positions as Trump. I ran in favor of a woman's right to choose.
Sure.
Molinaro and Trump are against it. I ran for gun safety. Molinaro and Trump were against it. Those on those issues, they are the same people. And by the way, I ran on the same issues helping Senate Democrats get elected. If you want ethics reform and voting reform and a woman's right to choose protected and you want gun safety, vote Democratic. I don't care if it was against a Republican senator or Trump or Molinaro, they're all the same.
Okay.
It's the issues, not the personalities.
Governor, let's move. Thank you for that. Let me move with you to specific things that I think New Yorkers are really concerned about, not the least of which is the idea that the state Senate is now going to be Democratic. And that you're saying, well, we can get some stuff done here that we've never been able to get done because of the obstruction of state Senate. Could you go through those with us?
Yeah. Look, personally, this is going to be a great period of liberation for me. You know, in some ways, Alan, I have been damned by my own success. You know, well, the governor got marriage equality passed and got gun safety and got $15. He can get whatever he wants passed. So anything that's not passed, you know, I get blamed for. But the Republican Senate blocked a significant number of measures that were just non-starters, no matter how I pushed and cajoled and charmed, believe it or not, like voting reforms, early voting, no excuse absentees, et cetera. The Republicans just did not want people voting because they know there are more Democrats in the state than Republicans. Bail reform, more on gun safety, Reproductive Health Act, protecting a woman's right to choose, Child Victims Act, where the Republican Senate would not pass it, period.
Remind everybody what that, Governor, remind everybody what that act was.
Child Victims Act, in effect, in simple terms, waives the statute of limitations to bring sexual abuse cases. It is primarily an issue for religious organizations, the Catholic Church, where victims of sexual abuse when they were children would now have a right to bring a claim. So these types of issues, the Republicans just would not pass.
How come?
No matter what. Well, either they were ideologically against it, or it was not in their best interest. Early voting was not in their political best interest. Closing the LLC loophole was not politically in their best interest. They are very close to the Catholic Church, and I'm a Catholic, but the Child Victims Act is opposed by the Catholic Church. Roe v. Wade, they are pro-life, period. I mean, it is what it is. They are pro-life. Molinaro is pro-life. Trump is now pro-life. And they wouldn't pass it. So either it was a genuine philosophical difference or a political difference, but these were significant issues that they would not pass for years, Alan.
No, it's true.
And
it's true. I wanted
me,
yeah, go ahead. I'm sorry.
It's the unfit. It is the, this state is the most progressive state in the nation, and no state has done what we have done. But this is in many ways, these issues, I think, will totally complete that progressive mantle.
So I wanted to ask you a question. I often wonder about this. I know that the Assembly has passed many of the bills you're talking about. The Senate says no. You push the Assembly passes them, the Senate says no. Are you completely sure that now that you have a Democratic Senate, that people, for example, in ethics reform in the Assembly will be willing to challenge their own tenure by passing progressive ethics reform, knowing that the Senate might have to do the same?
Well, we're going to find out. That is a $64,000 question. You know, it's not, I'm not suggesting that it's a manipulation, but when you know something's not going to happen anyway, it's easier to be supportive of it,
sure,
right?
Sure.
You really don't want to go to dinner with someone, but you know they can't make it on Friday night, so you say, sure, I'll go Friday night. It's human nature. I believe the assembly will pass the measures we're talking about. And I believe the senators will pass it. Now, the Senate has a different issue, whereas there's more ideological symmetry in the assembly. There's going to be less ideological symmetry in the Senate, because the Senate, in many ways, is a more diverse body and represents, now that they're in the majority, the complexity of the state. You have Democrats who are representing marginal areas. You have some Democrats who are in majority Republican areas, if not by enrollment, by voting behavior. So they have a real ideological spectrum. And Senator Andrea Stewart-Cousins, I think I have a great respect for her political skill. She gets the breadth of the spectrum. She's from a suburban community. So she understands that the balance between New York City, where you can't be less than us, you know, the further to the left in New York City, the better. But you're going to have marginals who are going to be very concerned about their electoral sustainability, and they have to run in 2 years. So that's what they're going to have to balance. But from my point of view, I am excited by all of it.
Okay, so let me ask you a question, because it's down in the weeds, but we all know, you and I especially know, that the Republicans have gerrymandered like crazy to win. In other words, they go to the great computer, say, great computer, draw me districts where we can't lose. And then finally the great computer looked back at them and said, you know, I haven't got enough stuff to move around for you, Mr. Leader. So the Republicans, will the Democrats be able, now that they've captured the Senate, to redraw those lines?
Yeah, it's going to be a question of the legal timing of it. They will not be able to redraw them for the next 2 years.
Right.
So the next election cycle, they have to be concerned about with these dynamics.
Yeah, and they got to win where they are.
Yeah, and this was the high. This is a high watermark for Democrats, right?
Sure.
We had a tremendous campaign effort. I mean, I frankly spent a lot of time, a lot of resources that we'll almost never be able to duplicate. So, I think in many ways this is the high watermark, and this is going to be the reality for 2 years from now, but. Look, we're talking more micro level here. The macro for the state, the winning back the Democratic Congress was key. First of all, it's going to be a break on this president, who, if he had the Supreme Court and the Senate and the House, people would start applying for passports and let's just move. So having a Democratic Congress, I think, will be a significant break and stop him or slow him and hopefully reverse him. The largest threat this state faces, in my opinion, is what they did in tax reform and SALT. Mm-hmm. People haven't felt it yet, but next year your tax bill goes up 30%. It puts this state at a long-term structural disadvantage with every other state. And you will see the economy hurt, and you will see home values come down. And hopefully, and what I'm going to be pushing our congressional delegation to do is, you have to reverse SALT. Don't pass a bill for the Senate until they reverse SALT. SALT was disgusting. They took the money from the 12 Democratic states to pay for their tax cut for the rich. That's what they did. And they took it from Democratic states because you don't have any Republican senators in Democratic states on the federal level. When President Reagan tried to do this, you and I are old enough to remember, when he tried to end state and local deductibility, Senator D'Amato was key in stopping it. There are no Republican senators in Democratic states anymore. And that's why the Senate was so free to give a tax cut to the rich paid for by the middle class of the Democratic states. So reversing SALT, having an appropriations chair from New York, Congresswoman Nita Lowey, God bless her, that's very important because we need transportation money. We need safe public safety money, anti-terrorism money. So that's, for me, that those are the big issues that really moved forward in this election. And plus, then you have the local issues that we've been talking about.
Somebody's yelling at the radio, I'm sure, right now. Ask him how he's getting along with President Trump.
Look, President Trump, when he first was elected, I said I stand ready to work with him because that's my job, right? And we need federal assistance. We get a lot of federal assistance. Federal Medicaid dollars, healthcare dollars, transportation dollars, et cetera. So you have to be able to work across the aisle. If you're unwilling to work across the aisle, you do a disservice to the people you serve. I believe that. Your job is to represent the people and get things done. When I am against him, I tell you I'm against him. No one has been louder or clearer against President Trump than I have on immigration, on what he did on SALT. SALT, for me, was the breaking point because that was a malicious, hostile, political, retaliatory, first time since Lincoln passed the first federal income tax that they imposed a tax on a tax. But having said that, he's the president of the United States. I'm the governor. I sent him a little video I produced a couple of weeks ago on the what's called the Gateway Tunnels, the tunnels that go from New Jersey to New York, where I had had a conversation with him, and he said to me, well, how bad are the tunnels? I said, they're terrible, and then went and took a took pictures of the decay of the tunnels myself and sent him the video because we need funding for those tunnels. So if it is helpful to the state, I will work with him. I believe you can have political differences and still work with someone. I did it with the Republican Senate. I can do it with a Republican president. If it's good for my state, I'm going to do it, Alan.
So you're not going to tell us that you hate his guts or that he hates yours, right?
Oh, he may hate my guts. No, this is my philosophy. He may say he may have a very different philosophy, and I have been very outspoken and direct about my differences with him. So I would not be at all surprised if he had a deep resentment towards me.
I got
it would be very justified.
I have 5 minutes left, and I want to ask you some fast questions. Don't take more than a minute on any of them, okay? Here we go. First of all, how are you getting along with Bill de Blasio these days?
Look, Bill de Blasio and I, we have different positions. There are institutional differences between a governor and a mayor. We have different political perspectives on what it means to be a progressive and what the role of government and on how we see Democrats doing their jobs in many ways. And we went through that in the primary, as you know. You had a different opinion in the primary also. I'm glad to see that the Democrats of the state agreed with me, Alan, as opposed to you and de Blasio. But
I even forget what I said, but go ahead.
So do I, but I just...
Yeah. Okay, okay. So, Governor, that's a good answer, and it's the end of your minute. Roe versus Wade, you've read, nothing is more important to me than this particular issue. I know it's terribly important to you. Will we see the codification of Roe v. Wade in New York State law?
I am going to do everything possible. I'm going to send up the bill as soon as the session starts. I hope to get it done in 30 days. I want to send a signal to New Yorkers and the nation. I believe they nominated and confirmed Kavanaugh to overturn Roe v. Wade. We don't have the protections in New York State. We don't have the health protection. So we need to pass that law, and it's hopefully it gets done in the first 30 days. I'm going to do everything humanly possible to make it happen.
Okay, that's a great answer. I really want to know about one thing, Governor, and that was that you had a great personal disappointment. You said so when some of the people around you did some bad things. Have you done anything to sort of make sure that doesn't happen again?
We have done a ton of things. We hired the best private consultant in the midst of it, former U.S. attorney. He came in and redesigned the whole procurement process with checks and balances. We moved it from SUNY over to ESD. We'll pass more ethics reforms this year. But, you know, Alan, you go back to my father's time and through Pataki's time. In life, you will have people who shock you and do stupid, venial things or get into trouble for one reason or another. And it is a heartbreak. But, yes, we've done many, we put many reforms in place and we'll do more.
You mentioned before the LLC loophole. Many people still don't know what the LLCs are. Can you give us 1 minute because we're really running out of time here?
Where are you going? Are you in a rush?
No, we have a half an hour. It's a half an hour program.
Just kidding. The LLC stands for Limited Liability Company. In the real estate world, primarily, and each building is set up as an LLC, so liability is limited to that building. And right now, under the law, every LLC can give the maximum contribution. So it's a very big loophole in the campaign finances.
Now, you took LLC money, but you're saying I'm really willing to live without it in the future. Not that we know that you're going to run another time. And by the way, are you going to run for a fourth term and equal your father's, attempts to get a fourth term?
Would you endorse me if I did?
Come on. Will you please? You didn't hear me endorsing Mark Molinaro, did you? Go ahead.
When you endorse me, when you tell me if you'll endorse me, I'll answer the question.
Okay, last question. Are you running for president?
Oh, in 1 minute?
Yeah, less.
Less. I am working full-time. I'm working full-time on being the best governor I can.
And you said that you would serve out your term. Does that still go?
Yeah.
Our guest has been Andrew Cuomo. I can't tell you what this personally means to me to have you on the show, Governor Cuomo. And we really do thank you for joining us. It's been an extraordinary pleasure, and I do thank you for doing it.
Same here. Thank you very much, Alan. Pleasure.
The Capital Connection is distributed with the cooperation of the public radio stations of New York State. David Gustina is the producer of The Capital Connection, a production of WAMC Northeast Public Radio in Albany. Support for The Capital Connection comes from New York State United Teachers, representing professionals in education and healthcare, online at nysut.org. We'll be right back.